Memorial Day. It began at the end of the Civil War, a war in which over 500,000 died, when women scattered flowers on the graves of both Union and Confederate soldiers. Did you know that someone who served as a nurse during the war and kept records of where soldiers were buried later founded the American Red Cross? Hi, this is Bill Federer, and in this episode of How We Got Here, we're going to learn about Clara Barton and the American Red Cross. Clara Barton was 10 years old when her older brother David fell off the roof of a barn during a barn raising in Massachusetts. Doctors gave up hope on him, but Clara helped nurse him back to a full recovery. He became a captain and served as assistant quartermaster for the Union Army during the Civil War. In 1839, at the age of 17, Clara Barton earned her teacher's certificate. She taught for 12 years in schools in Canada and West Georgia. In 1852, Clara moved to Bordertown, New Jersey, where she opened the first free school in the state. Under her leadership, it grew to over 600 students. In 1855, she moved to Washington, D.C., where she was hired as the first woman clerk at the U.S. Patent Office. When Democrat James Buchanan was elected president, his administration fired Clara Barton because of her Black Republicanism. The Republican Party was the first political party in history that had abolition of slavery in its party platform. The platform, adopted June 18, 1856, stated, "Delegates are opposed to the extension of slavery into free territory. With our Republican fathers, we hold it to be a self-evident truth that all men are endowed with the inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our Republican fathers abolished slavery in all our Northwest territory. We deny the authority of Congress to give legal existence to slavery. It is the imperative duty of Congress to prohibit in the territories those twin relics of barbarism, polygamy and slavery." When Republican Abraham Lincoln was elected president, Clara Barton was rehired at the U.S. Patent Office as a copyist. Soon after the Civil War began, there was a riot in Baltimore, April 19, 1861, with the first blood of the war shed. 40 wounded Union soldiers of the 6th Massachusetts Militia were brought by train to Washington, D.C., and then transported to a makeshift medical unit in the unfinished Capitol building. Clara Barton volunteered to care for the wounded soldiers. She recognized many of them as they were from her home state, with some even having been her students. On her own, she worked with ladies' aid societies to collect and distribute medical supplies and to care for wounded soldiers. In 1862, she received permission to work with the Army on the front lines. Once, after attempting to carry a wounded soldier off the battlefield of Antietam, September 17, 1862, Clara wrote, "A ball had passed between my body and the right arm which supported him, cutting through the sleeve and passing through his chest from shoulder to shoulder. There was no more to be done for him, and I left him to his rest. I have never mended that hole in my sleeve. I wonder if a soldier ever does mend a bullet hole in his coat." Clara Barton was present at some of the bloodiest battles of the Civil War: the Battle of Cedar Mountain, Battle of Second Manassas or Second Battle of Bull Run, Battle of Antietam, and Battle of Fredericksburg. The National Park Service recorded Chatham or Lacey House was converted into a makeshift hospital. Clara Barton first visited there in early August 1862, bringing food and hospital supplies to help her boys. She went there again during the Fredericksburg campaign, December 1862. Clara Barton helped care for the wounded soldiers, both Union and Confederate, that were brought into the house. A physician requested her help, which required her to cross a pontoon bridge over the river. As she stepped off, an officer offered his hand. Suddenly, a shell passed under their arms, tearing away part of her skirt and his coattail. The officer was wounded and later died. Clara set up a soup kitchen at the Lacey House, which became a makeshift hospital for the Union Second Corps. With doctors too busy to keep medical records, Clara wrote in her diary the names of the men who died and where they were buried. Her diary is at the Clara Barton National Historical Site in Maryland. On December 13, 1862, the day of the heaviest fighting, Clara was in the doorway of the Lacey House when an exploding shell severed a soldier's artery. She applied the tourniquet that saved his life. Crossing the river again, a Union provost marshal thought she was a civilian and volunteered to escort her to safety. But looking at the thousands of Union soldiers, she politely declined the offer, saying that she was the best protected woman in the world. Assisting doctors, a shell struck the door of the room they were operating in. Clara Barton did not flinch, but continued her duties helping the doctors. The next 2 weeks at Chatham, Clara wrote that she saw hundreds of the worst wounded men I had ever seen, occupying every room in the house. They covered every foot of the floors and porticos and stair landings. A man thought himself rich if he laid under a table where he would not be stepped on. Clara saw five men stuffed onto four shelves of a cupboard. Others shivered in the cold, muddy yard on blankets, waiting for someone inside to die so they could be brought in. Clara set up a soup kitchen in a tent in the yard to help them. The Library of Congress has the letter Clara Barton wrote to her cousin from the headquarters of the 2nd Division, 9th Army Corps, Army of the Potomac, near Falmouth, Virginia, December 12, 1862, 2 o'clock a.m. My dear cousin Vira, 5 minutes time with you, and God only knows what those 5 minutes might be worth to the many doomed thousands sleeping around me. It is the night before a battle. The enemy, Fredericksburg and its mighty entrenchments, lie before us, the river between. At tomorrow's dawn, our troops will essay to cross, and the guns of the enemy will sweep those frail bridges at every breath. The moon is shining through the soft haze with a brightness almost prophetic. For the last half hour, I have stood alone in the awful stillness of its glimmering light, gazing upon the strange, sad scene around me, striving to say, "Thy will, O God, be done." The campfires blaze, acres of little shelter tents. I gazed sorrowfully upon them. O northern mothers, wives, and sisters, would to heaven that I could bear for you the concentrated woe which is so soon to follow. Would that Christ would teach my soul a prayer that would plead to the Father for grace sufficient for you. Clara ended her letter. Already the roll of moving artillery is sounded in my ears. The battle draws near, and I must catch one half-hour sleep for tomorrow's labor. Good night, dear cousin, and heaven grant you strength for your more peaceful and less terrible, but not less weary days than mine. Yours in love, Clara. Clara Barton's patriotism came from her father, who served under General Mad Anthony Wayne. She wrote of helping soldiers. What could I do but go with them or work for them? And my country, the patriot blood of my father, was warm in my veins. Toward the end of the war, Clara noticed that thousands of letters were piling up for soldiers with no one responding. She contacted President Lincoln's office and was given permission to set up an office at 437 and a half 7th Street in Northwest Washington, D.C., to search for missing soldiers. Another forgotten chapter of the Civil War was that of Catholic nuns who served as nurses. Eight different orders of nuns, numbering over 600, comprised a fifth of all female nurses. Beginning in 1829, sisters who immigrated largely from France and Ireland helped found 299 hospitals in America throughout the 19th century, including the Mayo Clinic, St. Vincent's, Baltimore Infirmary, and hospitals in Buffalo, Philadelphia, and Boston for the working classes. In an era when most women had family obligations and could only volunteer temporarily as battlefield nurses, the sisters were systematically trained in nursing skills and served sacrificially their entire lives. U.S. Surgeon General Hammond reported to President Lincoln that volunteer nurses cannot compare in efficiency and faithfulness with the Sisters of Charity. Nursing pioneer Florence Nightingale once said, "What training is there to compare with that of a Catholic nun?" A monument was erected in Washington, D.C. to the Nursing Nuns of the Battlefield with the inscription, "To the memory and honor of the various orders of sisters who gave their services as nurses on battlefields and in hospitals during the Civil War. They comforted the dying, nursed the wounded, carried hope to the imprisoned, gave, in his name, a drink of water to the thirsty." Clara Barton went to Europe during the Franco-German War, 1870 to 1871, and helped care for wounded soldiers with Henri Dunant, founder of the International Red Cross. Dunant was the first recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. He founded the Geneva, Switzerland chapter of the YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association. He supported Jews repopulating Palestine and was one of the few non-Jews to attend the first Zionist Congress in Basel in 1897. Theodor Herzl first used the term Christian Zionist to refer to Henri Dunant. During the Muslim-Ottoman conflict with Russia, 1877 to 1878, Dunant's International Red Cross began operating in Turkey under the symbol of the Red Crescent. Clara Barton was inspired by Dunant's International Red Cross. She organized a planning meeting at the home of Republican Senator Omar Conger of Michigan. They officially established the American Red Cross on May 21st, 1881. Frederick Douglass, the African-American Republican, Register of Deeds for the District of Columbia, signed the American Red Cross's original Articles of Incorporation. Clara served as the first president, and Republican Congressman Lawrence Williams served as the first vice president. Clara Barton stated, "An institution or reform movement that is not selfish must originate in the recognition of some evil that is adding to the sum of human suffering. I may be compelled to face danger, but never fear it. And while our soldiers can stand and fight, I can stand and feed and nurse them. I am well and strong and young enough to go to the front. If I cannot be a soldier, I'll help soldiers." During the Spanish-American War, 1898, Clara Barton helped care for wounded soldiers in hospitals in Cuba. She wrote, "It is no less a wise benevolence that makes preparation in the hour of peace for assuaging the ills that are sure to accompany war." President William McKinley stated regarding Clara Barton in his second annual message, December 5, 1898, "It is a pleasure for me to mention the useful work of the American National Red Cross, both in relief measures preparatory to the campaigns and in sanitary assistance at several of the camps of assemblage, and later under the able and experienced leadership of the president of the society, Miss Clara Barton, on the fields of battle and in the hospitals at the front in Cuba." President McKinley continued, "In tracing these events, we are constantly reminded of our obligations to the Divine Master for his watchful care over us and his safe guidance, for which the nations makes reverent acknowledgement and offers humble prayer for the continuance of his favor." At the beginning of World War I, President Woodrow Wilson mentioned the Red Cross in his proclamation of a contribution day for the aid of stricken Jewish people, January 11th, 1916. Whereas, in the various countries now engaged in war, there are 9 million of Jews, the great majority of whom are destitute of food, shelter, and clothing, and have been driven from their homes without warning, deprived of an opportunity to make provision for their most elementary wants, causing starvation, disease, and untold suffering. And whereas the people of the United States of America have learned with sorrow of this terrible plight of millions of human beings and have most generously responded to the cry for help, now therefore I, Woodrow Wilson, President of the United States, do appoint and proclaim January 27th, 1916, as the day upon which the people of the United States may make such contributions as they feel disposed for the aid of the stricken Jewish people. Contributions may be addressed to the American Red Cross, Washington, D.C., which will care for their proper distribution. Opening the second Red Cross drive in New York City, President Woodrow Wilson stated, May 18, 1918, being members of the American Red Cross, a great fraternity and fellowship which extends all over the world, this cross, which these ladies bore here today, is an emblem of Christianity itself. The people of the United States are being drawn together into a great, intimate family whose heart is being used for the service of the soldiers, not only, but for the long night of suffering and terror, in order that they and men everywhere may see the dawn of a day of righteousness, justice, and peace. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this episode of How We Got Here on Clara Barton and the founding of the American Red Cross. God bless you.